Hi, everybody out there. I am Mitch Goldich. This is Eric Single. Eric, say hi.
What's up, guys?
Hi. We are taping our Super Bowl 51 Prop Bets podcast, which we're obviously excited about because it's a fun exercise every year. And we have a couple of cameras, very high-tech setup here. So we're on Facebook Live and Twitter video. So thanks to everybody who's watching. And it'll also be available as a podcast later that SI will publish later in the week. So we've got a huge packet here. It's from the Westgate Las Vegas. So these are, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff online where you can bet on Lady Gaga and all sorts of, you know, what color is the Gatorade. But these are the ones where you can actually go into a casino in Vegas and put down some money and place some wagers. So it's everything from who will be MVP of the game to will any Matt Bosher punts be touchbacks is one of my personal favorites.
Stay tuned for that one. I actually have thoughts.
Do so, you? Oh, cross sport stuff too. There's stuff comparing what happens with the Super Bowl with golfers and basketball players and soccer players. So I think we'll start with some normal ones and then spiral into the more ridiculous ones as we go along. But first, any like thoughts on the packet, having gotten this massive thing, anything that stands out before we start diving into the fun ones?
Well, you're the expert in this Vegas realm. I don't spend a lot of time gambling on things, and I don't spend a lot of time with the prop bets because normally the Super Bowl is enough entertainment for me. But I think there's so many things in this 29 page packet that I wouldn't touch with a 39 and a half foot pole. Like I was reading every possibility, just like wondering what the life was like of the person that thought that was worth putting money on or putting any emotional investment in that outcome happening. I can't imagine actual football being fun for those people.
And that's why, so I think my strategy when I look at this, and you're right, there are some where it's like, you know, you bet $11 to win 10 and you can make a ton of bets and grind out a small profit. But for me, the bets that are fun to make are the ones where you're betting at odds like 25 to 1, 50 to 1, yeah, 100 to 1. If I'm watching the Super Bowl with some money on it, I think it's fun to root for the long shots. You know, it's more fun to bet on a safety than bet on there won't be a safety. And then, as we've seen, that's a fun bet. And there have been safeties in several Super Bowls this decade. But, I think it's fun to bet on, will more than 2.5 players throw a pass in the game and things like that. So I think that's the kind of stuff we'll focus on. But should we start with, it's kind of a weird place to start, but MVP of the game is, I think your MVP, it depends. A lot of these bets, it skews towards which team you actually think will win. But right off the bat, should we talk about some of these MVP candidates?
Sure.
All right. So obviously, I mean, Tom Brady and Matt Ryan are the favorites. And conventional wisdom says that whichever team wins the Super Bowl, there's a very good chance the QB will be named MVP. But then at the same time, if you look at the payouts, Brady pays 10 to 11, so you're getting less than even money, and Matt Ryan pays 8 to 5. So to me, it's just not that worth it to place a bet on Matt Ryan winning MVP of the game. You get better odds on him than Brady. So I'm looking at long shots, but yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And we've gotten burned a couple times in the past few years. Malcolm Smith won in New York when the Seahawks beat the Broncos, and then Von Miller won last year. So it's even less attractive to go straight up quarterback than it was before.
Even though they always win.
Yeah.
Not always, but after you give two prominent examples. All right, so should we talk long shots? Do you want to go first or should I? I guess we could
first
take it with, looking at one team or the other. But to me, Devontae Freeman is just an obvious name that jumps off the page. His odds are at 25 to 1. Whereas Matt Ryan's 8 to 5, Julio Jones is 12 to 1, and it just feels like the odds on Freeman are longer with a better payout than some of the other guys who you'd figure are going to prominently, play a role in the game. Like LeGarrette Blount is at 12 to 1, and Freeman's at 25 to 1, and it just feels like you could picture, the Falcons are probably going to put up some points. I know people are going to talk about the Patriots defense taking away their top weapon and everything, which maybe is a good reason to not put some money on Julio. But, you got to figure the Falcons are going to put up some points and score, at least two, maybe three touchdowns, maybe more. And there's a good chance Freeman's going to get a couple. And sometimes that's enough where, people would vote for him.
Yeah, the big difference between the playmakers on these two teams, the Patriots can hide guys for an entire game, and that's just what they do. They don't heed to a game plan just because it's the thing that was most successful last week. So there are guys that are tied with or have better odds than Freeman in their camp, Deion Lewis, Edelman, Blount. Like the Steelers said last week when they lost, Like, we thought that Julian Edelman was going to be the guy that killed us, and it turned out to be Chris Hogan. So the Patriots are not afraid of just ignoring people, and the Falcons are the complete opposite. Freeman and Tevin Coleman, that is the brotherhood that Dan Quinn likes to talk about. They do the exact same job and don't have any qualms about being completely interchangeable. It's just a matter of, as far as Super Bowl MVP stuff, who gets the touchdowns, but they're not going to hide Devontae Freeman.
Yeah,
they're not going to hide Tevin Coleman.
Like, it scares me to bet on either of the Patriots running backs, because we saw it was the Houston game in the divisional round when Blunt had maybe two carries until like the last couple drives in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And like you said, we know Freeman's going to get the ball. We know Coleman will as well, but it's not like somebody's just going to not play and you'll be like, oh, that's an interesting game plan. But I guess Belichick didn't want to put him in the game today. Another long shot who I like on the Falcons, Vic Beasley, is at 100-1. And it's tough. I think it's definitely tougher for a defensive player to win MVP. But, you know, if you look at Von Miller, he's like the most comparable guy to Von Miller in this year's Super Bowl, I think. Like, if you look at, a defensive lineman, a guy who, gets a couple sacks, forces a fumble, something like that, makes a big impact on the game. And then I know people have also been talking about the two Super Bowls that the Patriots lost to the Giants, where the big part of the game plan was get to Brady. And a lot of this is going to be the narrative of, how was the game played and who had a big impact. So, again, I don't think Vic Beasley is going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl, but at 100-1, I think there's some value there, because I think he has better odds than that shows.
Yeah, if we're talking 100-1 shots, I'm a little surprised that a guy like Deion Jones isn't listed. The only other defensive player on the Falcons side of things is Keanu Neal, the rookie safety who's been awesome for them. But Deion Jones has some defensive touchdowns this year. He's got the speed that could potentially neutralize one or two key Patriots weapons. I think he's really like the key to the Super Bowl for the Falcons on the defensive side. And if he gets one big play to round out like a solid game overall, I'd be feeling pretty good about 100-1 shot in his corner. But Beasley is fine too. Surely the big problem is that, unlike Von Miller, the Falcons don't quite have another complement to it on the defensive line to help take some heat off Beasley. So I'm a little skeptical of that one.
All right, let me give you one Patriot, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Could I talk you into Malcolm Butler at 80-1?
I actually like that one.
It's interesting. I think if we're looking at sort of the narrative of the game, one of the big ones is how will the Patriots defend Julio Jones? And the question is, will they single cover him with their best guy? Or are they going to double team him? But, they did, for the most part, shut down Antonio Brown last week. And it's kind of like, if Malcolm Butler has one big turnover, he really just needs one, and then also helps shut down Julio, and that's one of the paths to a win for the Patriots, then maybe 80-1 is Brady would probably win it, but if you're looking for a better chance to earn a big payout, maybe at 80-1, that's a good spot.
And he's been awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if we, as the narrative creators, used the Super Bowl to vault him into that elite cornerback discussion if he really does have a complete performance against Julio Jones.
You're not telling me the media would craft a narrative based off of one game, are you? Is that something that you envision happening? No? Oh, man.
No.
All right. Well,
forget I said anything. we'll fix that in post. That surely was an incorrect statement.
All right. Any last thoughts on MVP before we move on to another one of my personal favorites? Every year I love to bet on the player to score the first touchdown.
Just one more. Mohamed Sanu is also 80-1, and like actually both of those secondary Falcons receivers, Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu, are 80-1, which is Malcolm Butler odds, as we just discussed. So if you're going to roll the dice on a defensive player, why not roll the dice on a guy that benefit from how well Malcolm Butler plays? And if the Falcons win, it could be one of those guys that ends up benefiting.
All right. Well, speaking of Mohamed Sanu and Taylor Gabriel, those are actually bets that I really like for the player to score the first touchdown. I think a lot of this, it depends on who starts with the ball, which can be hard to say. I think this is a stat that they were talking about all last week during the NFC title game, that the Falcons have scored a touchdown on, is it 8 games in a row or 9 games in a row they've scored on their first drive?
Yeah,
and
something like that.
I know the Patriots typically like to defer. I was doing a Twitter search from the Falcons account on just the word toss to see what they had done with the coin toss all year.
You're sick.
They tweeted every week, so you figure that's a good spot to find out. But and it looks like both teams probably prefer to defer. Accidental rhyme there, sorry. But I don't know. The Falcons offense, obviously I'm high on it. And I haven't totally made my prediction on the game, but I feel like I'm talking myself into the Falcons. But I could see them getting the first score. I could see the Patriots obviously deferring and then that offense getting a start, that opening drive like they've done so many times in the past. And I could see maybe if they win the toss, they decide to take the ball and put that great offense out on the field first. So, again, you know, I think a lot of people are going to look at Julio Jones, but I was looking at their stats. Actually, Devontae Freeman led the team in touchdowns in the regular season with 13. And then Tevin Coleman actually only had 11. But then if you're looking for guys besides Freeman and Julio, that's where I think, again, you're going to see value. And I think Sanu at 12-1, Gabriel at 15-1, and maybe you put down money on the two of them as kind of like a combo. And then if one of them scores the first touchdown, you're going to hit it.
I might even do that combo with the tight ends.
Okay.
Lavine Toilolo and Austin Hooper.
You texted me about Lavine Toilolo this week.
I did.
Week.
I just wanted to say Lavine Toilolo. He has been a bit of an embattled figure within the Falcons' high-flying offense. He is not the pass catcher that he was maybe drafted to be. And yet, Matt Ryan looks at him and trusts him. I think he's got his yards per catch is over 20. I think it's like 20.3. And he's not afraid to throw to random members of the receiving core in the red zone. He's had a catch in every game for the past couple months. And Hooper has been the more consistent, higher volume tight end. But between the two of those, if you want to really go nuts, just pick your favorite. But the combo idea, I'd be a little interested in that because that's the most fascinating part of this Falcons offense, that it hasn't been a funnel the ball to Julio Jones show all season long. Makes it incredibly fun to watch, and I wouldn't be surprised if the tight end sees some red zone looks even on the first drive.
Yeah, it's a little surprising to see that Julio only had 6 touchdowns in the regular season, but then it's so easy to get swept away in what he did last week where he proved once again that he can score a touchdown anytime he gets the ball in short throw in the red zone already where he can just like reach up and get it, or if he's 75 yards away from the end zone and he can just run around and through people and score. So it's easy to get wrapped up there. Again, I feel like we're talking about a lot of Falcons so far, and maybe that'll change. Are there the Patriots again? It's similar to the last one with MVP, where it's hard to know which running back is going to get the ball. One that I like is actually Tom Brady is 20-1 to score the first touchdown, and he's been Mr. QB sneak through his whole career, but did not score a touchdown in the regular season. But again, could have been saving him for this moment. And
You can't keep him down forever.
If you've got first and goal at the inch line, do you give it to Brady or do you give it to Blunt? You probably give it to Blunt. But I think it would be kind of fun to have some money on Brady at 20-1 to score a touchdown.
Yeah, for me, Blunt is the safest pick, 8-1 odds for the Patriots. Another prop I like that maybe we'll get to at some point is what the shortest touchdown will be.
Okay.
And I think it's over under 1.5. And so that's right in Blunt's universe. They did not really lean on him too early in the Steelers game, in the AFC Championship game. But you got to play the odds in some sort of red zone situation. And I think that's the best way to play the first touchdown game. I mean, if somebody scores a 60-yard touchdown, then it's a complete dice roll.
Yeah.
So I feel like the safest way to approach that is to talk about who's going to get looked at in the red zone or in the red area 25, 30 yards out. And I feel like Blunt is the guy there.
Do you want to just give me your, it sounds like you have a bet ready to go on over under 1.5 yards for the closest touchdown. Once you do that, I actually really like the bet on the total yardage of all the touchdowns combined as another personal favorite of mine. So you go
crazy
with yours and then I'll give you mine.
You were talking about at the beginning of the show how you don't like rooting against things happening, and I am looking forward to rooting against a 1-yard touchdown happening. I just like that. I like my odds.
Because then you're rooting for goal line stands every time they get close for for both teams. An equal opportunity goal line stand fan.
And the Patriots have such a good scoring defense. They're smart about things down by the goal line, so that limits the odds that the Falcons punch one in. And it's also a 2-yard touchdown nullifies it. So I'm willing to take that risk.
All right, well, I am taking over that the total yardage of all touchdowns will be over 100.5 yards, partly expecting at least one big play, partly expecting a bunch of touchdowns. Maybe not a bunch, but, you know, if there's one long one and there are five total or six even, then, you know, I think I feel all right about that.
What page is that on? Let me get there.
That is on page five, actually.
Page
not
five.
That,
it's one of the first things you have to address when you're betting.
So the total, just the straight-up over-under, is another one, and it's at 59.
What was the over-under for Falcons-Packers last week that everyone was so clutching their pearls over? It was in the 60s.
It was like a record. So I don't have the over-under in front of me. I know that the total score ended up being 65.
And they hit it. They hit the over.
Yeah. The over. I don't think it was over 65. So their first games, the Patriots' two playoff games were 53 and 50. The Falcons were 56 and 65. And it would be fun to bet the over. And I know everybody's talking about how many points there are going to be. And I know that even like their last two games each don't necessarily mean a whole lot because anything can happen. And you can hit this by... Obviously, you can hit it in a blowout or you can hit it in a close game. The over is fun, but I think the under is the smart play. I think under 59 just makes too much sense.
Yeah, that game last weekend, again, was in Atlanta in the Super Bowl. You have to think that it might be a little more tentative, even though these are two offenses that are very aggressive. Super Bowls are never quite the track meets that we expect they are. Whether it's the defense having 2 weeks to prepare or just the neutral environment, weird vibe, extra delays, heightened pressure of the biggest game of the year in any sport.
I think we agree that the under. Unfortunately, I think people want to tune into the Super Bowl and watch points. I think that's what they're hoping for, but may be disappointed.
The Super Bowl is so often disappointing. We've had some solid ones of late.
Well, the whole playoffs have been disappointing, so there's why should this game be any different?
Mitch, I have bad news. Football in general is disappointing.
Oh.
Let's take it deeper.
That's the 35,000.
Let's get very existential with this podcast.
I also like they have alternate totals. And here's where they actually do have different payouts. So if you're really confident in the under, you can even bet it at 51.5 or 42.5. Could I interest you in going that low for those? This is at the bottom of page one of this packet.
So 51 is 28-24 ruins it.
Yeah.
That's
the game 2 years ago.
That's what Patriots Seahawks was. Yeah. Super Bowl 49. I would rather take 66.5 than 51.5. That's tough. I think it's hard to imagine both teams not getting into the 20s. Both in the 30s seems like a lot, but to have both defenses show up enough to keep the game under that much control seems a little too much to ask for me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I agree. It doesn't seem worth it. I also like looking at these alternate spreads. So the spread on the game is Patriots -3, and this packet I got a couple of days ago. I think the line opened at -3. I don't know if it has moved or if it's going to move by kickoff, because that could be a huge half a point if it swings to 2.5 or 3.5. But you can also bet like Patriots -7.5 or Falcons -3.5 if you're really confident. I think that's if you're going to bet that the Falcons are going to cover the spread and you think they can win the game, if you think they can win the game straight up, you know, why not bet them at -3.5 instead of +3? I think that could be, you know, obviously you're losing some spread there. But if you're that confident that they can win, it could be fun to do that.
So my bet on the Falcons side of things is -7.5, which is +400 right now. So you said you weren't sure yet, but I know that I'm picking the Falcons.
Okay.
I picked them at the start of the playoffs. I still think that Matt Ryan is the best quarterback that the Patriots will have played all year by like multiple standard deviations. And I am not sure if my actual final score prediction is going to be over a touchdown, but I would put the likelihood that the Falcons really turn on the Jets and win handily just at the same level as them winning a close game. In a close game, if I were rooting for the Falcons or picking the Falcons, I will be sweating out every Patriots drive just with how often they've been there, with the personnel they have, with Tom Brady. That seems like a nightmare. So any close Falcons win, that's playing with fire. So I actually like committing if you feel good about the Falcons' chances to hang with the Patriots. And I feel like they've been written off even more than most Patriots Super Bowl opponents get written off, but they did
which is interesting because I'm seeing all these articles about how it's the best offense that they've faced in the Super Bowl since the Rams.
Yeah.
So you think they're getting written off. I feel like I've seen a lot of people taking them seriously.
They did just make Aaron Rodgers look like Aaron Rodgers from 4 months ago last Sunday. And I think that that's been sort of brushed aside as the Packers ran out of gas and were banged up everywhere and ran into a freight train and succumbed to the Georgia Dome vibe. And I think that's sort of weighing down the hype train at the moment.
That's a gutsy call. I like it, though. It's at -7.5. I'd be much more likely to pick up at -3.5, or you could just do the money line. But good for you if you're feeling it. Why not?
I'm feeling it. This is a podcast about hypotheticals and possibilities.
Right.
And if you're going to have fun with it, I would take the extreme in this particular little subsection of this giant packet.
If anyone is joining us who was around for last year's, they will remember how hard I pushed for Mike Tolbert scoring the first touchdown of the Super Bowl.
This is my
so
Mike.
So I am fine with hypotheticals.
This is my Mike
and
Tolbert.
Getting on board. Good. If that's your Mike Tolbert, then I don't want to deprive you of it. I'd like to talk about exact final scores for each individual team. Are you prepared to talk about this on page 23 here?
Not at all. So you run the show.
So I noticed something very interesting here. Now, I think we both agree the odds of a team finishing the game with exactly 4 points are slim, since there's no way to get there unless you have two safeties and no other scores.
Sure.
All right, so
I like where this is going already.
You can bet on either of these teams finishing with exactly 4 points, and it's at 9,999-1 for each team. However, you can also bet on the Patriots to finish with exactly 2 points, and the odds are the same. At 9,999-1. No difference in payout between 2 and 4, which is ridiculous. So maybe there's value in betting on the Patriots to get 2. But let's dive into this even further. You can bet on the Falcons to score exactly 2 points, and they are at 5,000-1, which is half the odds. And I think you look like you're jumping in to say something. I'll beat you to it. We remember the playoff game from a handful of years ago when the Falcons lost 24-2 to the Giants. Is this trolling here from Vegas? Are they saying the Falcons are more likely to finish with exactly 2, or are they just like sticking it to Falcons fans?
I think it's a math thing. Like 9,999-1 seems like the biggest odds they can put on anything within this packet's constructs. So that is basically them saying there's no way in the universe of possible outcomes that this will actually happen.
It's not. And nobody's going to finish with 4 points.
And the fact
but the 2 is very funny. The fact to me. That, it's funny that they're that different.
The fact that for the Falcons that strange thing has happened one time,
which of course has no bearing on this game, obviously.
Or is it?
But well, no, it doesn't. But I love it that the difference, as I'm pounding the table here, I love it that the difference between the two teams is so huge. Now, all that being said, I'd like to call your attention to another bet. I would bet on the Patriots scoring, this is a non sequitur, exactly 26 points at 30-1. I think you're getting good value. Obviously, 26 is not a normal number. You'd expect to see your 21, 24, even 27, 28 for sure. But I was thinking about this a lot last season with the new extra point rule and how sometimes teams miss an extra point and they have to chase. So you're thinking about extra points mattering and two-point conversions. But one thing that I like about 26 is it also sets up the possibility if the Falcons are scoring touchdowns and the Patriots are kicking field goals, and then maybe they have 2 field goals and they're down by 8 and they're trying to catch up. And so then they go for 2 and then they miss the 2-point conversion. So 26 is, I think it's like if they have 20, which is normal, 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals, and then they score a touchdown and miss the 2-point conversion. It's basically, it could be a bunch of field goals or it could be 3 touchdowns. It's unlikely to happen. But I think something like 27 is 12-1, 28 is 12-1. Some of the stranger numbers are better odds, and I could see the Patriots scoring 26 points. Put me down for it at 30-1.
Why don't you like 22, which is 50-1, and that's just 1 2-point conversion, or a safety brings in 22? I don't understand why the odds are so much longer for 22 than 26.
So I did some research on the numbers 22 and 26, if I can find it, because I did strongly consider the 22 as well. This regular season, there were 18 games where a team ended with exactly 26 points, and there were 11 games where a team ended with exactly 22. So, you know, obviously one season is not the biggest sample size on earth, but I think they know over time, and from looking at these numbers in last year's packet as well, I think they know that there will be more 26s than 22s. 26 sets up the possibility of going to overtime at 20-20 and having a yep. walk-off touchdown with no extra point. And I think they're going to score more points. I think 26 is like an extra score in the game. So I just think it feels more like it. I wouldn't fight you if you wanted to put money on 22 and 26. I could be talked in.
I'm fully invested in that Falcons tight end combo. So okay. I don't have anything to spare for 26. But if you're going to pick a team to score 26, Steven Gostkowski missed 3 extra points this year, right? So that's a good team to take a shot and assume that they might be chasing points at some point.
All right. Well, mark me down.
You're in.
I love that I saw the big difference in finishing with exactly 2, and I would love to see that come into play. Meanwhile, both teams are 40-1 for over 50 points, which is interesting because every other spot on the board is you have to hit the exact number, and then when you get in the 50s, it's just opened up. It would be very tough for either of the teams to score 50 points, though it has happened in Super Bowls before. The Cowboys did it against the Bills once, and I think that Niners-Chargers blowout, obviously yep. we're going back many years, and the most recent blowout was that Seahawks-Broncos game when it felt like they scored a million points. They got 43. So it's tough to get over 50, but it's nice that they give you the whole range, so you get every number on the board and it still pays out 40-1. So if you're that confident in your Falcons blowout, maybe that's your spot to put money.
No, I would have brought up the 10.5 Falcons line okay. if I was that confident.
Fair. All right, do you want to get into... I mean, it feels like we're already into kind of ridiculous territory, but we're going to get even more absurd. Did you have any other like big headliner kind of ones, or do you want to start getting into some of the crazy ones?
No, I'm ready to get weird.
Okay, let's get weird. Do you want to start and just pull something up that you like that you found interesting?
Yes. So I'm a big hockey guy as well. We were just talking about the late, great Hartford Whalers before this podcast started taping.
We were just talking about the Hartford Whalers.
We can spend another 10 minutes on air just for the enjoyment of everyone that definitely tuned in for that.
I think I've used up my Hartford Whalers knowledge. I don't think I have 10 more minutes in me.
That's fine. So on page 20 of this packet, you will find Connor McDavid points against the Canadiens versus Steven Gostkowski field goals, and Gostkowski field goals is -1.5. So I love McDavid here. So first of all, Connor McDavid has not registered a point in a game 3 times since the year began in like 20 Oilers games. He's the best young player in the NHL. He's probably the best player in the NHL right now. And the Canadiens are solid, but it's McDavid. So if you think that he is going to score 1 point, as he's done all but 3 times in the past month or 6 weeks or whatever it was, you're really putting a lot of pressure on the Patriots to be settling for field goals in a game that so many people assume is going to be a game where you can't afford to settle for too many field goals. So that's why I'm inclined to go against Steven Gostkowski in that situation. I was also intrigued by some other weird props that went up against the number of field goals made. Tiger Woods birdies in his 4th round. I feel like that's got a great shot to surpass the total number of field goals made. Even though he missed the cut this weekend, I feel like every time Tiger plays poorly but still hangs around for the last round, this late period Tiger plays a solid, sturdy 4th round, not threatening the leaders, but just like, well, he's recovered from his disaster in the 2nd or 3rd round, and I think he can put up enough birdies to again outscore a game that I feel like each of these two teams are going to be regretting settling for field goals outside of just having no choice but to kick it.
While we're in crossword, and I am not a big hockey guy, but I have a couple of hockey bets that have piqued my interest.
All right.
And they both involve the Vegas Golden Knights, which is an NHL team that does not yet exist. They are the expansion team that's starting next season, and there are 2 bets involving them, which I just love. You can bet on Vegas Golden Knights goals in their first regular season game -0.5 against the total field goals made in the first half of Super Bowl 51. Now, I love this bet for a lot of reasons. I love it because we don't know the date of the Golden Knights game. We don't know the opponent. We don't know the location. We don't know a single player who will be on the roster. And the game is going to be in October. So if you make this bet, you have to, one, you have to win the bet. And then two, you have to hold onto your ticket for 10 months until it potentially cashes, and then be able to get paid. That said, knowing nothing about the teams, give me the goals for the Vegas Golden Knights, because it's just the first half and it's made field goals, and that number could be low. And I just think it would be fun to have a ticket for that game and be sitting on the first game in franchise history rooting for goals. I like it. Now, the second one, I'm actually going to go against the Knights. You can bet on their total points for the 2017-2018 season, -20.5, compared to Devontae Freeman's rushing yards. This is about as absurd as it can get. So the opener, that ticket would cash in October of 2017. This would be after not this NHL regular season, but the following NHL regular season. So this bet, you wouldn't even be able to cash your ticket until is April or May of 2018, which is so far away. So I looked up, and like I said, not the biggest hockey guy, but I looked at the standings. I took a peek, and you can be last in the NHL. You figure they're going to be a bad team because they're an expansion team. I don't know any of the rules about the NHL expansion draft, but I assume they're not going to be great their first year.
No.
You look like you're ready to – you can't convince me otherwise. I don't think they'll be.
No, they won't. Yeah. They won't be great. I think another factor
– I love that we have a hockey guy to give me a serious answer to this.
Another factor that we aren't quite thinking about is – the Vegas Knights' unhired coach. Their general manager is George McPhee, who used to run the Capitals, and that was a wide-open team that had Alex Ovechkin. So that was a high-action, high-scoring type team. As far as the first game goals situation, the points one is insane to me.
so you got to figure the last team is going to be like in the maybe the 60s or 70s in points.
Yeah.
But then you're subtracting 20.5 from it. And then if you think Devontae Freeman's going to have a decent game rushing, I mean, if Freeman runs for 70 yards in the Super Bowl, that bet has a really good chance to cash. So
yeah.
There, I'm betting on Freeman and betting against the Golden Knights.
Yeah. If it's a guy like Jack Capuano, the recently fired Islanders coach, or Gerard Gallant, neither of those guys quite fit that wide open pace, but those would be solid pickups for an expansion team. So, and I think they can definitely get to 60 points in the Eastern Conference or in the Western Conference. I'd be down with both those bets.
Okay, well, and I have one more cross sport. I was tempted. There's a bet involving Joel Embiid, and I am maybe the biggest Embiid fan around. So I was tempted to go. It's his points and rebounds compared to the distance of the first made field goal -6.5. But that is just that's a huge roll of the dice too, just to guess how long the first field goal will be. But anyway, one that I like even better is the point total of the New York Knicks -9.5 against Julio Jones's receiving yards. And I would definitely be fine betting against the Knicks. I would definitely be fine betting for Julio Jones. You can also bet elsewhere in this packet on Julio being above or below 95.5 points. But I think it makes more sense to take this as long as you don't think the Knicks are going to score 105. So they are playing, by the way, they're playing against the Cavs. And, you know, the Cavs are going through their struggles right now, but so are the Knicks. And I could just very easily, looking at that weekend, knowing that I was rooting for a good game from Julio Jones and a bad game from the Knicks, at least, you know, who knows if they win, but total points scored. Of all the cross-sport bets that you can take, I feel good about Julio against the Knicks.
I'm nervous about Julio in this game, not only just because of Malcolm Butler, but the Patriots are going to spend so much time of this next week, this two-week interim, working on taking him away from the Falcons' game plan. That's their entire deal. They're fine with not quite stopping your second and third options, but your first option can't kill them, and Julio Jones is the Falcons' first option. So I'm actually sort of intrigued by the Knicks in that scenario. I'm wary of almost any Julio-related prop bet, although it's more of like a stay away, more than a betting against him type situation.
We also should say, as we tape, the Knicks were heading into quadruple overtime. Right. So you do set yourself. That's why I always wonder people who bet on college football, and because the overtime rules are so crazy that anything can happen there, especially with total points. But yeah, if the Knicks and Cavs go to quadruple overtime, and I haven't seen, they might be in eight overtimes now. They might be in UConn Syracuse territory, for all we know. But I think the Cavs can win that one in regulation. So
I have another one that's sort of back towards the center of reality, and it's a lot like your 2-point, 4-point situation.
Okay.
So LeGarrette Blount is 8-1 to score the first touchdown in the Super Bowl, but he's 10-1 to score the last touchdown in the Super Bowl. Have you looked at the last person to score a touchdown odds?
Not closely, but I'm happy to.
So why is that? Why is it more likely that Blount will score first than he'd score last? Is it because in the first quarter, in the beginning of the game, with a 0-0 score or a 3-0 score or something, the game script is not determined and all of the options are open? And so betting on Blount to score at the end is also sort of a understood bet that the Patriots are going to be winning and they're going to be running out the clock or just sort of asserting their will as they did against the Steelers.
That was my thinking. It seems to me he'd be more likely to score the last touchdown. It's strange the odds are flipped, because you're right. If you are going into this thinking that the Patriots are going to win, then you probably envision the fourth quarter is them with Blount running the ball and running the clock out. And even like we were just talking about the Texans game where he barely played, the fourth quarter is when they did bring him in. And I think they actually brought him in. I remember a goal line stand. He definitely got at least one goal line carry. And then did not score a touchdown. But yeah, it would seem to me that he'd be more likely to score the last touchdown.
And it's not like every player has this sort of like possibility that the team that they're on loses. So like Edelman is 8-1 to score the first touchdown and 8-1 to score the last touchdown. Martellus Bennett is 12-1 to score the first and last touchdown. But just for Blount, it's 8-1 and 10-1. That feels like some weird.
Freeman is 7-1 and 12-1. So also a big
one. So that's gotta
be a running back thing. I don't know why that. Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know.
I love.
So you think there's value in Blount scoring the last touchdown?
Yeah, I think there's value in Blount scoring.
Even
the last
though you're
touchdown.
Picking the Falcons, you could see yourself getting on that Patriots clock killing Blount touchdown.
Yeah, as sort of a hedge in case this ends up being a Patriots win, and there's a solid chance that it could be a handy Patriots win on the other side of my thinking, and then that would be Blount all the way. So
you could also bet 500-1 on no touchdowns scored in the whole game.
that is the ultimate rooting for some outcome to not happen. And I can't think of a worse way to watch football than
to spend the whole game rooting for no points. Well, I mean, people who bet the under on the total are also going to be watching the whole game rooting for no points.
But everyone that I've ever talked to that's bet an under has been upset the entire game. Like, something weird has to happen for you to be in a good mood about the under.
I feel like we've all been there with fantasy, where if it's Monday night and your opponent has somebody and you don't, and you're like clinging to a lead.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like we've all been there where it's Monday night and you spend the whole night rooting against Julio Jones, and that's like the only thing that you care about in the entire game. So that is a familiar feeling. And then I think we've also all been there where it's the first quarter and he makes a 60-yard touchdown catch, or whoever the guy is that you're playing against, and you can say, well, all right, I don't have to watch this game anymore.
We don't have that option with the Super Bowl. We have to keep watching.
We will be watching the Super Bowl, that's for sure. All right, I have a couple more. Longest completion by Matt Ryan. The line is at 43.5 yards.
Okay.
And I like the over. I'm not, convinced that there will be, like I said, we both took the under on points, so I'm not convinced that there are going to be a million long plays all over the field. But 43.5, and it's not even necessarily the longest touchdown. So you could see, it could be a deep one to any of the receivers we named earlier, not just Julio, but Sanu maybe, and it could just be like a screen pass, like a dump off to either Freeman or Coleman, and, take it for 44 yards, not necessarily get in the end zone. But I looked through his game log, and 10 out of 16 games in the regular season, he was over. Both games in the playoffs, he was over. And it just feels like that's, it's not like you don't have long odds on there, so you're not going to get a big payout. But if you're just looking for small bets and fun things, I could, I think it'd be fun to root for Matt Ryan over 43.5 on one play in the game.
I think that's fair. I'm in your camp on that.
Yeah,
on
I would have front. Expected that number to be a little bit longer. If it was like 49 and a half, that gets a little bit tougher. But
do you have any other quarterback stat related picks on your mind?
So not for the starting quarterbacks in the game.
Oh God! All right. Well, all right. Before you get to that, I
have the Matt Schaub 6-touchdown pass game.
There we go. Tom Brady's total yardage over under, and I'm trying to scramble to find it here. Yes, total gross passing yards by Tom Brady is over under 310.5, and that seems high for me. Tom Brady doesn't hit 300 yards a game every game. Like he eviscerates one or two or three great solid defenses every year.
Yeah, he just put up a big number against Pittsburgh last week.
Yeah, and that's got to be why it's over 100, because the majority of his games are in the 200s and they don't ask him to do what Matt Ryan does pushing the ball. I would feel worse about a 43.5 Tom Brady completion over under. And like I was talking about with the Patriots in general earlier, this could be a game where they dink and dunk with Edelman and just tear the Falcons apart because they don't have the cornerback talent to cover in short areas, and don't sniff 300 yards. But he's incredibly efficient, and they work him with all the running backs, and they take care of it. So you get the same money betting over or under. So I sort of like the under on that one. And that's the end of my starting quarterback recommendation. So I'll tee you up for whatever.
It's very nerve-wracking to bet on the Patriots at all, because I feel like it just – You never know what Belichick's game plan is going to be. We've seen playoff games in the past. I think the two different games against the Colts, one with Jonas Gray, one with Blunt, maybe two of them with Blunt. But you've seen these games where they'll just run it, 40 times. Then we've also seen games like last week where they come out and throw it. And again, a lot of it depends on if they're ahead or behind. But it's just, I feel like just about every prop bet that I've given on individual players has been on a Falcons guy. My gut instinct was to lean over when you first brought it up.
Interesting.
And so I was, I'm not surprised that you're under, but I'm surprised that you were so confident it would be under, if that's a fair way to put it.
300 yards is a lot.
But I might be, I might be totally, falling for recency bias and after just watching what they did last week, thinking that that's what they're going to do again.
Here are Tom Brady's postseason game logs. The Super Bowl against the Rams, 145 yards. He was obviously a different player. 354 yards against the Panthers. 236 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Eagles. See, I could see that game. Like he was like fine. 23 for 33, 236 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Just like
that was
sort of
one Super Bowl win that he didn't win MVP.
Yeah.
Just
sort of quietly clinical. 266 in the 2008 loss to the Giants. 276 in the 2012 loss to the Giants, and 328 in the win over the Seahawks. And that's a game in the 20s that he did get there, but without that last drive, that's what pushed him over. So.
Yeah, I think it might be a stay away from me, which is a lame answer, but this is yours. I'll let you have it.
I'm happy.
Can I give you a more fun one, though? Joe, it's not necessarily about backup quarterbacks, but I do love the bet. The total number of different players to attempt a pass in the game. And the line, of course, is at 2.5 because you're expecting Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. So the question is, will we get a third guy to throw a pass? Overpays plus 175 and underpays minus 200. This is another one where it's just more fun to bet the over. So you're hoping that somebody else throws one.
And not a completion, just an attempt.
Just a passing attempt. So you've got a few options. Somebody could get hurt in the middle of the game, which we're not rooting for, but could happen. I don't think you'd see a blowout where the backup throws a pass. It's hard to envision either of these teams pulling one of their starters, but if they did, I could see them pulling a starter and just handing the ball off. I really don't think we're going to see Matt Schaub or Jimmy G throw a pass unless there's an injury. But let me give you a couple intriguing options. Well, first of all, there's a fake punt or a fake field goal where like the punter could throw it or the holder. But both sides have a wide receiver who could throw the ball. On one side, you've got Julian Edelman, who had that awesome touchdown pass in the playoffs. Was that 2 years ago or was that last year? When was it? I don't know. Edelman has been a quarterback before in college.
That was 2 years ago. That was the Ravens game.
Yeah. In that game, they won like 35-28, and it was back and forth a million times. So we've seen Edelman throw the ball on a trick play. And another great trick play, we've talked about Mohamed Sanu already, but Sanu is a throwing weapon, and he has not yet been unleashed in Atlanta. But his passing career when he played for the Bengals, he is 5-for-5 in his career for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns, including a couple long ones. He has not attempted a pass yet for the Falcons, but maybe they were saving it for the Super Bowl. Maybe they were saving it for the playoffs, then they didn't really need it last week. So you're banking on somebody throwing a pass, an injury, a trick play to one of the wide receivers, both of whom have throwing experience, or a fake or something. Put me down for over 2.5 passers throwing a pass attempt in the game.
I'm just not as fun as you are. I totally appreciate and respect the willingness to root for crazy stuff, but I'm willing to be the boring person that thinks that just two guys will throw the ball.
All right, you can you're welcome to be boring then. I'll be I'll call you after Sanu throws a touchdown pass to Levine Toilolo.
The first touchdown pass. Then we all win.
Yeah, then everybody goes home happy. All right, any last couple things you have here? I'm trying to look if we've talked about everything on my list or not.
What are your what's your punting scouting report? I
should have known you'd ask me this because you know that I'm in an all punters fantasy league that I frequently talk about. But I don't like a lot of punts. Some of the bets that are, I forget the number exactly, but I think there was like fewer than 6.5 punts in the game or something. I think I could see not many punts.
So the one that I like is Ryan Allen, Patriots punter. Will he punt a touchback? It's +270 that he will punt a touchback and -330. That he won't punt a touchback. I want to be rooting for the touchbacks. He punted a touchback in their last Super Bowl against the Seahawks. So there's
very little, but go on.
Well, he might not be clutch.
Okay.
He might not be a clutch punter.
Well, the thing is that you have to remember, and I don't know if you're just one of those guys who just looks at the box score and thinks they remember everything, but you're now calling out not just the punter, but the punt team, because it's also on them if they're trying to down the ball at the 1 yard line or somebody lets one go or, you know, steps a foot on the goal line or something. So you're not just talking about Ryan Allen. It's the whole Patriots punt team.
I mean, shots fired at Matthew Slater for doing a shoddy job. So by his career, he had 12 touchbacks, which is a lot of touchbacks, 15.8% touchback percentage in 2013, then dropped it all the way down to 6 in 2014, the Super Bowl year, 3 last year, but now he's back up to 5.
Also, fair to say, the Falcons don't have the most stout defense, yeah. So it's not like he'll be punting from backed up in his own goal line. You'd imagine some of his punts are going to be from closer to midfield, closer to that range where you think about going for it or punting. So.
And I wouldn't describe Eric Weems as a particularly aggressive return man. He's not the most conservative, but he's not somebody that's going to take away opportunities for this bet to happen.
Okay.
So anyway, that's my punter thoughts. I don't think Ryan Allen has it in him to deliver the perfect punting Super Bowl.
I'm hopeful that he'll be throwing a pass instead of punting a touchback. That would be much more valuable to me, even if it's incomplete. But I'd rather see him do that on a fake punt.
I bet this is why this bet is worded this way. But what if they faked a punt and Ryan Allen fumbled it? He took it himself and fumbled it through the end zone, and it was a touchback. That would not cash this bet in.
Oh, it has to be a punted touchback?
Because I thought the wording was a little awkward. Will he punt a touchback? I thought it was like kick a touchback or...
Because what if they put him out there as the kick returner and he fields the ball and takes a touchback?
These small bits of punting nomenclature
They've
matter.
Thought of all, they have all the loopholes.
I apologize for the last 5 minutes. So come up with something else.
All right. Will there be a two-point conversion attempt? Yes, pays 140. No, pays -160. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? Yes, pays +250. No, pays -300. You could bet one of these. You could bet two of them. You could bet that there will be an attempt and a miss. And then I think in that case, you would really clean up. I haven't even thought about these. I flipped to that page you were on and saw these and wanted to ask you and put you on the spot.
I think there will be a two-point conversion attempt, but I'd be willing to sort of like kind of hedge that and bet against there being a two-point conversion.
Because then if there's no attempt, you're going to win that anyway. That only pays minus 300. But yeah, you could – if that's a nice payout if you hit the double and you bet on the yes attempt and
if it's,
no conversion.
I mean, if it's 28-26 Falcons in the final seconds.
My 26 would hit it. That would be huge for me. All right, any last things? I have I wrote this down. I don't know what page it's on, but put me down for Austin Hooper over 11.5 yards receiving. Any comments on that or last ones you want to throw out?
No, I feel like my Lavine Toilolo love really overshadowed Austin Hooper's emerging value to this Falcons offense. So I would be in favor of Tevin Coleman-related props that look favorably upon Coleman's potential. He's got an over-under 33.5 receiving yards. His longest, I think the more interesting one actually, is his longest reception, 15.5 yards. If he's going to catch a ball, there's a very good chance that he gets beyond 15 yards. He's been the better Falcon out of the backfield in that respect, I think on a more consistent basis. Interested in that Tevin Coleman longest reception bet, but that's just sort of general players, and we're all the way back to talking about fringe Falcons players, just like we were at the start of the show.
I think that was most of the podcast, yeah. All right, I think that should do it right here. This was fun. I think the highlight for me was definitely when you asked me a question about 22 points versus 26 points, and I had done that exact research ahead of time. I don't know if anyone else enjoyed this, but for me, that was the highlight of this podcast, that I was prepared with that information exactly. So I don't know if you feel the same, but
yeah, no, that's got to be the highlight. One last thing, I am picking the Falcons. I think I will, just because we've talked about it. I'll just take them by 8. And lock that in now.
Wow. Are you putting me on the spot?
No, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but okay. Just for the record.
Well, I've decided that the Patriots are going to score 26. I just haven't decided yet if the Falcons are going to score more or less than 26.
Yeah, this is. But we're sort of like surrounding our predictions, and then we sort of close in from all sides like a siege, and then at the end we arrive at this final true answer.
That is exactly
what the score
what's
is.
Going to happen. And here's this segue to the toss out to the end: is if you want my prediction, you can find it on Twitter, because I'm sure we will both be tweeting plenty before the game. You can follow both of us. I'm at Mitch Goldich.
I'm Eric _ single.
The underscore. Was the original Eric single already taken? Or
yeah, weirdly, a lot of people want to broadcast themselves as single whose last names aren't said adjective.
Okay.
Anyway, this is,
I don't know how we got
not
there.
That this is a
but anyway, all right, we're on Twitter. You can also, you should definitely follow SI_NFL, which is the main account that's going to be pushing all of our NFL content. We have a ton of great stuff. We've got writers who are already there. We've got all kinds of stuff all over social, and we're going to have more Facebook Lives, more Twitter videos, all kinds of things from the Super Bowl. I'm flying out tomorrow. I will be there, which I'm excited for. I'll call you back in the home office after the 44-yard touchdown. But it's going to be awesome. Thanks, everybody, for listening and everybody who watched. I know we didn't really take any questions, but thanks to everybody who watched us on Facebook Live and on Twitter videos. And now you're going to awkwardly see me walk over there and shut off the cameras. But thanks, everybody, for joining. Thanks, Eric. This was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Everybody out there, enjoy the Super Bowl.